This week I entitled my message, Free to Forgive. Well, you think, well, wait a minute, preacher, we're all free to forgive. Well, yeah, but sometimes we don't forgive. But guess what? If we forgive, we're not forgiven. But just before Easter, Jewish people celebrated a holiday in their tradition called Purim. Now, during Purim, it's the story of Esther, and the story is read aloud and sometimes enacted. Refresh your memory if you don't remember about the story of Esther. It tells of an upright young Jewish woman who becomes queen of Persia and reveals to the king the evil intentions of his right-hand man, Haman, who is out to exterminate the Jewish people. Esther's uncle, Mordecai, had angered Haman, who builds gallows intending to have Mordecai hanged upon them. But when his treacherous plan to manipulate the king is revealed, he ends up being hanged on the very gallows that he built to murder Mordecai. Well, in the scriptures, time and time again, we see an interesting rabbinic concept coming to the forefront. It's called measure for measure. You know, what we would say is what comes around goes around, what goes around comes around. Well, in other words, the action that you take against another will often be returned upon you. Now, we might say that our actions may have consequences. It's a spiritual and ethical principle of reciprocity, kind of like a Jewish karma. You do something bad and it'll boomerang and come back to you in a similar way. Well, that's not just the case in the story of Esther's. The rabbis noticed throughout Scripture a pattern of this happening, that when one acts with hostility or judgment or bad intent towards another, he or she will inevitably end up suffering from a similar circumstance. Think about that for a moment, and I'm sure you've seen or maybe even happened to you, this comes true a lot. So when Pharaoh declared that he would drown all the Jewish boys in the waters of the Nile River, the result is that Pharaoh's army ended up drowning in the Red Sea. When King David kills Bathsheba's husband and marries his wife, his son ends up dying. Now, we might initially be tempted to see this as some kind of retribution on God's part, but this is not the case. It's not a matter of God punishing. It's a matter of knowing that what we do in this world matters. That when we treat people badly, we often set ourselves up for some bad consequences. On the other hand, when we treat people with kind and grace that God offers to us, we have the power to change the world for the better. The story of Joseph and his stepbrothers demonstrate the potential for this. Joseph's stepbrothers had thrown him into a pit and left him to die. Later, successful Joseph notes incognito to his brothers that perhaps his brother Benjamin should suffer. Now, this was a test to see how they would react. But when the brothers protected Benjamin, Joseph turns things around and creates a different future. He forgives his brothers and reveals who he is, healing his family's dynamic. Now, we know that Rabbi Jesus, and he was a rabbi, remember they call him teacher, also used this concept in his own teachings. In Matthew 7:2, it says, with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. And then he quotes a similar line in Luke 6:37-38. In fact, in our very Lord's Prayer, we listen to these words. It says, and forgive us of our trespass as we forgive the trespasses of others. Well, the measure for measure, and we say it every time that we repeat the prayer. We ask God to treat us in a way that we want to treat others. The Lord's Prayer is a prayer of humility, because in that prayer, we are challenging ourselves to love and live in a way that grows not out of depletes God's kingdom, that we honor and humble ourselves before God and acknowledge our penitence for the delivering of judgments upon others. Grateful that God will not act out this concept on us, but will instead deliver mercy upon us due to the gift of what Jesus has done for us. Deliver us from the evil one, O Lord. Well, measure for measure, become a different concept for Jesus, a way to change the world and to cultivate a kingdom kind of community, one act at a time. Well, that's really interesting, you know, because that's the way life is. It's a journey. It's not a sprint. One act at a time. But think for a moment about the parable of the wheat and the weeds in Matthew 13. Jesus tells us to let them grow together until the harvest. God will take it from there. Now that word for let in the passage and others like it is the same word used in our passage in John's Gospel that we read earlier. But in this passage we translate the Greek word hapatite to as forgive. Now my Hebrew and Greek is not so good, I think you know that. But the purpose is that we understand the English meaning of the words. So when Jesus met with his disciples in the upper room on that night before his death, he washed their feet and he told them with a new ritual of body and blood. He would declare a new law, one that would rule over all others. Love one another. This is the way everyone will know you belong to me. Love one another. Now that's not easy to do, and I know, but we're commanded to love one another, but we don't have to like them, and we don't have to go fishing with them, as John Riley says, but we got to love them. Or put it another way, return harm with grace. Return harm with grace. In fact, some of Jesus' last words on the cross were, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Those who persecuted him, taunted him, disbelieved him, and killed him, he asked, "Forgive them, Lord." Now, we could call this changing the outcome, or whatever you might want to call it, but when somebody harms you, instead of responding with like measure, change the outcome, measure for measure. Show forgiveness and grace, just as Jesus showed forgiveness and grace to all of us. In return, you're going to feel the favor of God upon you, and you will have transformed not only your own life, but those that you have forgiven. Have you ever tried to do that with someone who is upset with you? Well, instead of responding in anger and defensiveness or rebuke or respond with kindness and understanding and grace, well, it kind of gives you an opportunity to mend fences then. Do it. Isn't that so? It's as though you switch the switch. The anger subsides, and you're able to connect with that person in a whole new way. That's why the teachings of Jesus are so important, that we understand them and learn them. When Jesus meets with his disciples post-resurrection for the first time, they're locked behind doors. They fear retribution from the authorities as Jesus' supporters. Oh, yeah, over there's one of them, you know, those guys that follow Jesus. But when Jesus appeared suddenly among them, listen to what he says. "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I so send you. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." In other words, the power to act as his disciples, to cultivate a kingdom-like world, to receive his grace, and therefore bestow that grace upon others, is now given by me to you, Jesus said. But he also cautioned us. He said, use it wisely. I think Jesus knows better than anyone the power of forgiveness. He knows that it doesn't let people off the hook. It doesn't excuse bad behavior or forget or even ignore threats. Those who act unkindly will still likely receive the consequences of their action all on their own. But Jesus also knows that he has healed and has become the most ardent disciples, those that he has showed unexpected grace. They have become his most passionate followers. I know that I accepted God's grace in my life, and I now call myself a Jesus follower, and I hope and pray you do too. I digress. So when we bestow forgiveness and grace upon others, no matter what they've done or not done to us, we act out our own version of measure for measure. So, as Jesus has forgiven us, for we have all sinned and followed short of the glory of God, so we forgive others in his name. And in doing so, they themselves will experience the power and the glory of God in their life. Sometimes, often for the very first time, this act of forgiveness. They'll say, wow, what kind of person are you that forgives me for what I've done to you? Well, when you're one of Jesus' disciples, you're going to give it all because you have been given great power from Jesus. And you can use the gift that Jesus has given you wisely, bestowing love and grace upon all those in your lives. Not bearing upon what they've done, but bearing upon the gift that you received in Christ. Or you can resort to the eye for eye and a tooth for tooth mentality that in the end will merely leave you both with only one eye. That's cool when you think about it. I like that. Yeah. If you go eye for eye, tooth for tooth, we're just going to end up all toothless and blind, maybe. I don't know. But as the superhero, and I don't follow him that much, but I like Spider-Man a little bit. He learns and he says, with great power comes great responsibility. Or, as Jesus taught us to pray, forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. For yours, not ours, O Lord, is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Well, I hope and pray that you're doing well. We like to see you in person in church, and everything's going well at Bethel as far as we know. As I always say, you don't never know what's around the corner. So you got to keep your spiritual eyes and physical eyes open, your physical ears and your spirit ears. Keep your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.